going to go to Matthew chapter 16. I'm going to just talk about church membership a little bit here this morning. I want to begin with Matthew 16, starting with verse 15. It says, "What about you?" he asked. And Jesus is talking to his disciples. He asked them, "Who do people say that I am?" Then he turns to his disciples and asks them, "What do you say? Who do you say I am?" Verse 16, Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven. I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." So I just want to pick out two phrases in there because he's not just talking to Peter, but he's talking to us as well today. Peter was not the only one. He was talking to all 12 of the disciples that were there. And I believe we're in the same holy church as they are, and I believe this is something that we can apply to our own lives. Jesus said two things: "I will build my church." And he also said, "I will give you the keys of the kingdom." And so we want to come here today realizing that there are keys. And we know what keys are. They mean something. If we have a keynote speaker, I'm the keynote speaker here this morning. I'm the main speaker, right? So we know what that means. It's a place. It's noteworthy. But it also means something of value, right? We have keys for the most valuable things in our life, right? We have keys to our vehicles. We have keys to our houses. You may have a safe deposit box. You may have a safe in your house. Keys, right? They protect the important things in our lives. And so Jesus said, "I'm going to build my church. I'm going to give you a set of keys." He didn't say key. He said keys. And so we're going to look at one of those keys here today. And I believe one of those keys that he gave to the church was 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12. It says, "For the body is one and has many parts, and all the parts have that parts of that body." Yeah, man, I messed that up, didn't I? Whew. All right. "For as the body is one and has many parts, and all the parts of that body, though many, are one body, so also is Christ." So we are all the makeup of the body of Christ here this morning. And I believe that one of the keys to the kingdom of God is the church. And so we encourage people to become members. I wasn't a big fanatic on pushing membership, but as the Lord has been convincing me the importance of it, I want to kind of share that with you here this morning. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, as we go through here this morning, I just pray that you're speaking to those that are already members, Lord. I ask, Lord, that we would kind of remember why we became members to begin with. And I'm praying for those that are becoming members now, Lord, that you will just also minister to them and just speak to their hearts as well, Lord, because we're in this together. And so, Father, as we move forward, I just ask, God, that as this message goes, I pray that you will kind of move us in that direction because, Lord, we are individuals, but we make up your body, your church. And so, Lord, I just commit this next few moments into your care, and we ask in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. So I stole my outline, but the guts are mine, all right? So I'm going to start here. It's from Tom Rainer's book, I Am the Church. And the first point is this morning. Membership means we are all necessary parts of the whole. We all know that we are a part of something bigger. You may be here as an individual. You may be here even as a family. But we belong to the church. We belong to Chapel on the Hill. And how many know that the Chapel on the Hill belongs to a district? It belongs to a network. It's called the Pendel District. And the Pendel District is part of something even bigger called the General Council of the Assemblies of God. Not just of the United States, but it's around the world. But how many know that just the General Assembly is also part of something bigger called the Kingdom of God? And so we are part of something bigger than ourselves. And membership should not be viewed as an organizational concept, a business model. I have books on my shelf. Probably a majority of them are kind of from business people that what we've done in the church is we've incorporated the model of the business world into the church. And Jesus never intended for us to do that. So we need to be very careful that we're not imitating the world. How many know we're not an organization? We are a living organism. Some of you are alive, right? All right? Hallelujah. We are a living organism here this morning. It's moving, changing, and following the Lord Jesus Christ. We are not called to copy the world, but the church has been more reactive than active in the world. Something happens, we react. Instead of us going out and making it happen, we're reacting to what the world is feeding us. How many know the world is in the shape it is because the church has laid down and let somebody else take control? So the biblical mandate we find in 1 Corinthians 12, 27 and verse 28 says this. Now you are the body, meaning not you as one individual, but us collectively here this morning. You are the body of Christ and individuals members of it. God has placed these in the church. And so there's multiple ways that we could take this today. I kind of underlined some things and then I changed it. We can say we are the body of Christ. We are individuals and we have been placed. But I want to look at and emphasize this here this morning. We are a body. We are members, plural, and we are the church. And so God chooses us. As we read in this, God has placed these, who? Individuals, into what? A group of people. And so if you are like me, you might have some flashbacks of the past. You remember gym class? You remember when they had to pick teams? So some of you athletes were probably picked first all the time. Then there were some of us maybe in the middle ground or maybe at the lower end that weren't so athletic. And guess what? We are one of the last ones to be picked. And you knew what their attitude is. I guess we're stuck with you. You might as well be on our team. I was raised playing baseball in Pony League when I was in elementary school. And where do they put the worst players? Not on the bench, but where? The water boy, right? They put you in right field, right? If you're a baseball player, you know right fielders see less action than most people. So if you're bad, there you go, right field. Guess where I played? Hallelujah, I was a right fielder. Amen. Aren't you glad today that the world isn't picking who we are today? That God has placed us in the body of Christ here today. And I'm glad that God chose you and God chose me. And we're not leftovers. He's not stuck with us. He wants us. Hallelujah. And he picks you. Amen. To be on his team. That's exciting. So the church, according to Paul, in this scripture, it is compared to the human body. And there is no such thing as unnecessary parts. I know that you're in the medical field. Some of you have some parts missing out of your body. Yes, there are things that we can live without. But we know here today that we can survive without certain body parts. But how many know if there's a body part missing, that, guess what? The other parts have to compensate for the missing part. And that's not ideal, right? It's good to have the whole thing and not have missing parts. And I believe that's God's will for his church, not to have missing parts. We are all necessary parts of the church. We are all necessary parts of Chapel on the Hill. So you say, well, they don't really. Yeah, we need you. We need you. We went to visit Betty Moore in the hospital, and we've been kind of pushing, trying to get people as they're filling out their information. What are you interested in? Where can we plug you in? What can we throw at you? or volunteer military style, right? She said, I can't do much but pray and give. How many know pray and give is important? Amen? When you're 80-some years old, pray and give is pretty good. Amen? So we all have a part to play. So membership means we are all necessary parts of the whole. So don't think you're not necessary to this body. You are necessary. Secondly, membership means we are different, but we still work together. We all heard the word synergy that came out, a few decades ago. Working together produce more than one person alone. How many know it's in the Bible? It's in the book of Ecclesiastes. Solomon said what? When two work together, they what? Produce more than one's working by themselves. So it's nothing new. They stole it from the Bible. They think they're clever. But how many know that Solomon was even cleverer? He was the smartest man in the world. So one of the things that we have done, I won't say we because my little frog over there didn't do much, but everywhere we went, we remodeled every church that we pastored. She did help some. But how many know that when you're working on a constructor remodeling, different jobs need different tools, right? And how many know it's nice to have the right tools for the right job? When I began, I had limited tools. And so as you that do carpentry work know that it can be very hard using the wrong tool to get the job done right. But as the years went on, I collected many tools. I've got a lot of different tools now. And I even got a new tool. Libby got me a new tool. And it's kind of like, man, I wish I would have had this tool years ago. I love it. And so, what we find out is that different jobs need different tools. In the last church that I pastored, we had a trailer on the property. And I came up with this brainstorm of remodeling it. And it took us almost 2 years to remodel this thing. And we actually literally gutted the thing. And so, as I was working with an older gentleman, he was kind of had this idea as we were widening the studs from a 2x3 to a 2x6, he wanted to screw each one on. And it's like, you got to be kidding. That's not me. I have a nail gun. And it's like, by the time he gets one screw in the stud, I could be on to the next. And so it's just that idea here this morning that we all have some different ideas. We all have some different skill sets. We all have different ways of doing it. But how many know we can still work together? So we worked for over 2 years on that job. We didn't kill each other. If it would have been my wife, we would have probably been divorced at 6 months. And so we kind of look at this. The job did get done, and it looked great. But the object was we worked together on it. We have a household full of people, all four of us. Some of you belong to some pretty big families in here. You're all connected. But we have four individuals within our home that come from four different places. We all started out with four different last names. But we all come under the name of Farkas. And as we look at that here today, none of us are blood related. None of us have the same DNA. And yet, we are called a family. When you say the Farkas, you think of at least three, but we also have an older daughter. And so you kind of have in your mind who we are. And when we talk about Chapel on the Hill, guess what? We all fall under that title of being a family. We all have experiences. We all have last name, different DNA, different skill sets. But guess what? We belong to the same family. We work together. One of the catchwords today is diversity. And in the world, I believe the word diversity is a bad word. It's a terrible word. I believe they have weaponized that word. And they have forced that upon the American people. And we believe in equality, do we not? As Christians, as Americans, we believe in equality. And we believe that America is, I don't know if we still believe it, is the land of opportunity. And we believe that anybody of any race, of any sex, of any education, can do whatever they want. They can go where they want to go. They can start what they want to start. We believe that. that in America there are opportunities and we're not trapped. And so we believe in equality. We believe in the American dream. But we also believe in the work it takes for the American dream to take place. And so we believe in that equality. We may not all start at the same place, but we can end up in the same place. But there is also another word that they threw around, and it's called equity. That means you get something for nothing. And that is going on in our culture here today. People want something for doing nothing. How many of you worked to pay off your school loan? Right? There are those who have gone to school for what? Party for 4 years and want you to pay for it. That's their idea of equity. It's a weakness in our nation. It's undeserved for a bunch of people that underperform. It is a weakness. It is being forced upon American people. But diversity for the church is a lot different because it's our strength. Everyone has a place. Everyone has a role. And everyone is called to be productive. We read there in verse 28, God has placed us individuals in what? His church. That is equality. That is diversity. That is the kind of diversity that God wants. So membership means we are different, but we still work together. That's a terrible word today, work. Right? When your government pays you not to work. But how many know work brings dignity? Work is what gets us ahead. Work brings fulfillment in our lives. So even in the church, those same things are important. If we want to be proud of our church, get involved with your church. Work in your church. Have a say in the church. The third point is, membership means everything we say and do is based on a biblical foundation of love. When we read 1 Corinthians 13, we usually hear it at a wedding. We don't often hear it preached in the church. We hear it in wedding vows. But 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4 says, love is patient, love is kind, love does not envy, it is not boastful, is not conceited, does not act improperly, is not selfish, is not provoked, and does not keep a record of wrongs. So we've probably all heard it at weddings, this being said. But how many know this wasn't written for a wedding? It is written for the church. It is how we are to relate to one another. The truth is we rise and we fall together as a church. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 26 says, so if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. If one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. The sad point is that we have a hard time with the rejoicing. We can get in the trenches with those that are in and out. But how many times when we see someone being promoted, when we see someone advancing, that instead of rejoicing and being happy with them, we're kind of jealous. And we don't rejoice like we should. But we are called to what? Get down on our knees with them in the dirt. But we are also to rejoice with them as God exalts them and promotes them. Love is the lifeblood, church, of the church. It is. John wrote about two churches in the book of Revelation that had a couple problems. Had a love problem, actually. Revelation chapter 2, verse 4. He was writing to the church in Ephesus. And he says this, yet I hold this against you. You have forsaken the love you had at first. And if you read the New Living Translation, I really like this version better. But I have this complaint against you. You don't love me or each other as you did at first. God has a problem with a church that doesn't love each other. Revelations 3:15 and 16 talks about the church in Laodicea. He said, I know your deeds, that you are neither hot or cold. I wish you were either or the other. So because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I am about to spit you out of my mouth. Church, we need to have a love for one another. It needs to be a hot love for one another. Amen? It's not just words. Words are cheap. Words are cheap. So let's get down and dirty and gritty and help people out. I believe as a church, we've kind of missed some opportunities since I've been here to minister to people within our own body that I think we should have ministered to. As I said, we can throw money at something, but how many know sometimes people need people? People need a helping hand. So let's do both, right? Let's help them with money, but let's also help them roll up our sleeves and get a little dirty with them. So love is like blood to the body of Christ, like oil is to a car engine. And you gentlemen know that if you're low on oil, if you're lacking oil, your engine heats up, locks up, and then what? Blows up, right? So in the church, if we lack love, guess what? Things heat up. Guess what? Things lock up and things blow up. So it's the lifeblood of the church. Membership means everything we say and do is based on a biblical foundation of love. And the last point is church membership is functioning membership. Christianity is about service, church. It's about service. Jesus said, I came not into the world to what? I came into the world not to be served, but to serve, right? Those are the words of Jesus Christ. At Chapel on the Hill, we have a membership list. We have just gone through it. We've kind of cleaned it up a little bit. And on that list, there are active members and there are inactive members. Based on what? Their participation within the church. Chapel on the Hill has board members. And how many know that the board members have a stricter qualifications than those that are in common members? What we want out of our board members, we want them to be active. We want them to be attending church. The Bible says they need to be serving in some capacity within the church. And they need to be tithing and giving of their money. And so as you're thinking about nominees, you really need to think about those that are here all the time, those that are involved here all the time, those that are already serving. So think about that as you're selecting these nominations. It's not a popularity contest. It's based on qualifications of an individual, their character, that we want to see happen on our board. So Tom Rainer writes this in his book that I quote. Mentioned earlier, I am a church member. He said, we who are church members are supposed to function in the church. The concept of an inactive church member is an oxymoron. Biblically, no such church member really exists. That's tough. That's tough. If that is true, then as Christians, we are not called to live alone, are we? But we are called to be part of the church. We have come to a place where people have replaced church with their TV living, their living room TV. Those things have a place. There are times when, yes, we may need to depend upon it. But how many know that Jesus died for the church? How many know that Jesus said, I will build my church? And if we refuse to be with the rest of the body, are we really part? I'm just going by what he's saying here. The concept of an inactive church member is an oxymoron. Biblically, no such church member really exists. We are called to be part of a local body. If we don't fit somewhere, there's a place that God has made for us. So it's not about the quality of service we receive in the church. If you're here to be served, you may be disappointed after a while. It's about serving others. How many know when you're a newbie, when you get saved, guess what? Things are new. There's a time where people are going to serve you. People are going to try to build you up. They're going to try to encourage you up. They're going to help go out of their way to strengthen you. Yes, that is the time that you, what, are receivers. That's when you get served. But how many know, I put old bees up here. I didn't know what else to put. Contrast that here today. How many know that if you're an old bee and you've been around the church, you've been saved for a period of time, how many know that being served changes into service, serving other people? Yes, there are times in our lives, we all will go through it, cycles in our lives, where we need to be served, where we need to be ministered to. But how many know that after a while, we have to turn that around a little bit, and we need to begin to serve others? Jesus said to his disciples, freely you have received, freely give. Paul also wrote, it is more blessed to give than it is to receive. I like receiving. How about you? But he says, you know, there's a point in our life that we reach that it's more blessed to give. How many of you parents love to bless your kids and your grandkids, right? You love it. You could care less if you ever got anything from them. Because usually what they give you, you don't want anyway. Right? Unless it's a gift card, right? Hint, she's not here. Oh, she's in the back. All right. Isn't it true? As you mature, what happens? You begin to look out where you look at those around you and you want to bless them. Isn't that amazing? That's called maturity. That's called being part of the church. I don't know, old bees is not a good name, but anyway, that's the point. Every year, we're supposed to fill out an ACMR report for our denomination, our network, our fellowship of the Assemblies of God. And what's sad is that one of the questions is, how many people are serving within your church? And the average church, I'm not talking about ours, the average church, about one-third actually do all the work in the church. And even less do all the giving in the church. And so as we look at that here today, and I read something, an older report that Pastor Chris had filled out, and he said that on that report, 80% of the church was involved in ministry somewhere. That's incredible. That's a compliment. And so our goal is not 80%, not 81%, 85, 90. Wouldn't it be great to have 100% participation in church? Why? Because we're members, right? Because we call this our home. This is the church that God has called us to serve in. So as we close up here, membership means we are all necessary to the whole. Every one of us is important here. The sum is no greater than its part. You understand that, right? Our church is only as great as you personally make it. We are different, but we work together. Everything we do and say is based on love for one another, and we are functioning members.